Hi, I'm Johns Hopkins with Baltimore Heritage. Welcome to 5 Minutes of Baltimore History on WYPR. In 1926, Baltimore City wanted to build a playground, and they weren't going to let the 122 bodies buried there stop them. They moved the souls to the very first cemetery in the city, a tiny Quaker graveyard called the Friends Burial Ground off of Harford Road across from Clifton Park. The newly interred joined abolitionists, philanthropists, and the first woman to cast a ballot in America. Kind of, and we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's start back with Quakers, an often overlooked part of early Baltimore. Quakers, or the Religious Society of Friends, built some of the earliest religious structures in the city, were some of the first and most prominent abolitionists, and one, my namesake Johns Hopkins, founded a university and hospital you might have heard of. At the time the Friends Burial Ground was established in 1713, Quakerism was a fairly new but fast-growing religion. It originated in England in the mid-17th century with a man named George Fox. By 1681, the first Quaker meeting in Baltimore, the Patapsco Meeting, began gathering in a home near what would become the burial ground. For this, a member of the meeting, Richard Taylor, forked out 10 shillings for the land and also paid an annual rent to the Lord Proprietor, the living Lord Baltimore, which included peculiar tokens like 3 barley corns and 2, quote, Indian stone arrowheads. Go figure. The log meeting house on the grounds, which sadly no longer remains, was built in 1714 and was the first religious structure in what is now Baltimore City. The Quakers moved to a new meeting house on Asquith Street 70 years later, and this 1781 building is now the oldest standing religious structure in the city. It was from the graveyard at this Asquith Street location where the 122 souls were moved back in 1926. They included some of the most interesting Quakers in Baltimore's history. The influential abolitionist Elijah Tyson was one, as well as Gerard Hopkins, probably a relative of mine, who gave the philanthropist Johns Hopkins his start in business, and Louisa Ann Swain. In the mid-1800s, Swain had moved from Baltimore to Wyoming, which back then was still a territory. In an effort to increase its female population, Wyoming passed legislation in 1869 saying that any Wyoming citizen or person who promised to become a citizen could vote. So in 1870, the 70-year-old Swain cast her ballot 15 years before the 19th Amendment was passed. It was reported by newspapers at the time that she was the first woman since 1807 to legally vote. New Jersey had allowed some women to vote before then, but changed its mind in 1807. Swain's first to vote story was passed around for decades. But according to the National Women's History Museum, this isn't exactly true. The first woman to cast a ballot was a month earlier in another territory, Utah. That state had given women the right to vote in a desperate attempt to stop anti-polygamy legislation, figuring the many wives and polygamous families would vote to retain this practice. A woman named Seraph Young, the grandniece of Brigham Young, was the first woman in Utah to fill out her ballot. But we can still call Swain the first if we put a little qualifier on it. According to Wyoming historian Kim Viner, Swain was the first woman to vote with the full equal political rights of a man. Unlike in Utah, Swain was voting as a citizen who could hold public office. But apparently, the ability to vote and also making history wasn't enough to keep Louisa Swain in Wyoming. After casting her ballot, she soon returned to Baltimore, where she died in 1878 and now rests at the Friends Burial Ground off of Harford Road. For more information on the Friends Burial Ground, check out Baltimore Heritage's 5-minute history videos at baltimoreheritage.org. I'm Johns Hopkins for Baltimore Public Media.